You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
Back, everybody, another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King, joined today by Jason Caldwell, as we are now just a few days until A-Day. We're recording this here on Wednesday morning, and so as I'm sure many of you are, and Auburn's coaching staff and players as well, hoping for a much more normal spring game than they had last year, where it was rain-soaked and only played three quarters. So I think it's trending this year, looking at the forecast, for things to be a little bit more productive, but it'll be the second spring game, of course, of the Hugh Freeze era. And the format, Jason, I don't think is going to be all that different. If I recall correctly, I think last year they put 24 on the scoreboard. This year they're going to put 27. And so what that's going to look like, I think this has the potential to be one of the most normal-looking spring games we've had, maybe since Gus Malzahn was around, because Harsin liked to like throw in little individual stuff like in the middle of the game. And so in terms of like a four-quarter scrimmage, this could look pretty normal if you're going to the game on Saturday. They'll put 27 on the scoreboard, and essentially what that is the defense now has four quarters to defend it. So essentially if the offense goes out and scores 28, they win the scrimmage. So it's an offense versus defense thing. Interceptions, of course, a pick six would add to that score. As I understood it yesterday from Freeze, if a player were to intercept the ball, he would move the field position back because a 20-yard field benefits the offense, and so you've got to kind of offset that there. But either way, Jason, I think when Freeze was talking about it yesterday, and based on what we've heard and seen, I think this is trending toward being a pretty competitive scrimmage, because I felt like we've sort of had the back and forth and back and forth for the better part of the past couple weeks. Offense is good this day. Defense is good this day. Offense responds. Defense responds. Based on what we saw yesterday when we had 2 hours out on the practice field and the competitiveness there of some of that offense versus defense work, I think we have an opportunity here. It's not going to be like a normal game, and the ones are not going to play. Your best players are not going to play a ton, but I think there is an opportunity for this to be a pretty competitive four-quarter game that obviously, hopefully fans will enjoy.
Yeah, I think the first thing you have is you have more numbers. That's the first thing you have. Now, provided that wide receivers get a little healthier, and we did CJ Fair back out there, and so we saw a few more of those guys yesterday watching practice. So provided they have those guys, but there are enough wide receivers from some walk-on guys, there's a couple of walk-on guys, the true freshman class, they're good players that'll be fun to watch. And so, but yeah, I think there's more numbers, so that gives you the opportunity to go out there and play more of a true game anyway. I just went and looked last season. Last season, 27 points would have put you roughly halfway in scoring from the top to the bottom of Division I football. So you go, hey, here's a baseline, 27 points. You're going to have to score 27 points to give you a chance to go out and compete. And so I think that's kind of the number. Where you're going, okay, offense, here's the number you got to chase. You got to get to 27. And so I like that. I think it makes it fun, and it gives you a little bit of an idea. I can't stand the 2 points for a first down, 3 points for a three and out on defense, things like that. That's just not football. And so this at least gives you a chance to actually have a football feel for a game. So I like it. Said, what, 4 10-minute quarters? Feels like those are going to be 4 10-minute running quarters is what it sounds like, because he said the last 2 minutes, they would then stop it and play it as a real 2 minutes at the end of the quarter. So I don't expect it to take a long time. But you're right. I think the one thing that I think we're going to see is I think you're going to see, I believe, a lot of Holden Garner, Hank Brown, Walker White, very little of Peyton Thorne, as they try to figure out maybe who the number two guy is coming out of spring. Now, it won't be set, but to me, that feels like the biggest, you know, kind of question mark for this team. There's lots of other positions that are up for grabs, but most of those you play other guys. Offensive line doesn't feel like there's a whole lot up for grabs there. Feels like they're pretty secure. Everywhere else you rotate guys a good bit. So feels like more of that focus on maybe the next quarterback to see what happens.
Yeah, because as Freeze said on Tuesday, in his final time talking to the media before the A-Day game, he said, look, there has not been enough here in the spring to change my mind, Freeze saying this, about Peyton Thorne is going to be the leader heading into the fall. You know, Freeze said it from day one this spring. He said it's going to be his job to lose. And from everything we've heard and seen, he hasn't done anything to lose it, particularly Tuesday at practice. That was a very good Peyton Thorne practice. And I think what Tuesday showed you, and we had a bunch of observations up on our site for subscribers, but the gist of it, I think, and I don't know what you observed, Jason, but when you're pushing the ball down the field and when you've got to make quick decisions, it felt like when the pressure caved in, when they were doing true offense versus defense stuff, who was more savvy with the ball? Who was putting better touch on the ball? Who was more confident when that pressure started coming in? All of those things could continue to develop for those other guys. I just thought yesterday was a very good indication and illustration of Thorne's your guy right now, and things can change. It is a long offseason, and they have a whole nother. What about Walker White with spring under his belt? You know, let's see. But right now, if they were to go play a game, Peyton Thorne is absolutely your guy. And I think he's made some nice strides this spring. I think
yeah.
A bunch of good moments.
I agree. I thought there was something interesting yesterday. We heard people talk about it, and it's something I've been screaming for years, is that they did a lot of scramble drill yesterday where they're rolling quarterbacks left and right. Players have to adjust and come back, do those things. That's, in essence, how you win football games. Very rarely are you going to win a bunch of games where you're standing in the pocket, everything's clean, and that's how you win games. Patrick Mahomes is next level because of the ability to do those things. And I thought that's where Peyton Thorne was really good yesterday. And having wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, working on those types of plays, in addition to just running the offense, I think that's a huge part of what you're able to do and what you can do in an offense. And I thought he looked comfortable. We know that the one word, I've heard it from several folks, process. He's processing information because he's played so much more football, and it's not a surprise. You would be expected, if you're Peyton Thorne, to be processing things and to be much further along, even though you're all in the same learning cycle of an offense. You're much further ahead, though, because of what you've gone through. That shows up when you watch them on the field. The other guys can get there, but they're never going to catch up to him. They'll get further along, but his experience puts him miles ahead of the other guys. I've said it, we've talked about it from the get-go. It was going to take something really extraordinary one way or the other for Peyton Thorne to not come out of the spring as a clear leader. He was either going to have to tank it and be terrible, which he hasn't been, or somebody was going to have to be through the roof good. It was going to be hard to do that because you just don't have enough reps. And so it's about, I think, exactly what we expected as you head into these last few days of spring.
Yeah, and like you said, I think that lends itself to a spring game where, and Freeze said it on Tuesday, he said, you know, you might not see the guys you know really well, I think is what he said. Yeah, and Thorne falls among that category, and I think they feel very confident in where he stands. right now. And so, like you said, that is the position where, you know, there's other spots across the roster, but knowing who that backup guy is going to be. And look, Freeze admitted it on Tuesday. He said it's going to be hard to get four reps in the fall, or four guys reps in the fall. Right now, his expectation is that it's going to be the three guys with more experience. Does that mean Walker White doesn't have a shot to be Auburn's starting quarterback? Absolutely not. He absolutely will continue to have a chance to do that. But what it means is his uphill battle is a lot larger, because he won't be getting as many first team reps. And it's going to kind of take a, it's going to take a performance from him in the fall to be really standing out, to say, okay, we need to reinsert you into this group that's getting the first team reps. But you know, they want to throw the ball. The weather is going to be better. I don't think there's really any rain in the forecast. It's still gonna be kind of a cloudy, you know, not your usual sunny spring game day. But as Free said, you know, it's, he is challenged with, you want to run your RPO stuff, but at the same time, as he explained on Tuesday, like, he had a quarterback recruit on campus. He was standing with him at practice. Offense goes 90 yards down the field. They didn't throw the ball a single time. And he had to explain to the recruit, like, those are all passing yards because the quarterback is making a read. And so that'll be interesting to see how they balance that. Because obviously you want to get the passing reps. You want to, you know, get, let guys like Holden Garner and Hank Brown in a pressure situation in a stadium go out and make throws. They've also got to run the RPO offense. And so it'll be interesting to see how they balance that. But like you mentioned, Jason, the personnel at receiver also dictates some of this. You know, they might not want to run the guys super dry who are available. But from everything we saw at practice, think they'll have enough. Sam Jackson could play in a non-contact jersey like he has all spring. Camden Brown, I saw him out there for some stuff. And then when they went like full offense versus defense, he went off and got some work. Like you said, Jay Fair was there. Caleb Burton was there. Didn't see Coy Moore. But I think they have enough guys to – I think they have enough guys at receiver. But we've talked about him all spring, Jason. I know Auburn fans are really excited for Cam Coleman. I mean, he made a couple really, really good plays in that game, or excuse me, in that practice on Tuesday. And shoot, he's working in the starting group, and he has for the last couple weeks. Really no surprise, but you don't talk to many people right now who don't think he definitely has the potential to be the best receiver on this team.
No, I agree. Here's what I don't want people to expect Saturday. Don't expect 10 targets for Cam Coleman and 175 yards. I don't think Auburn coaches want to showcase him on Saturday. I don't. Now, they might and say, hey, here we go. And maybe you do a little bit. I don't think you'll see a bunch of that. You know, he's done everything that he needed to do. Honestly, everything that we expect him to do. He was a guy that we thought had a chance to come in and do these things. And I think he's done it from a physical standpoint. Mentally, I think he's done a good job of kind of getting in the playbook, doing those things. And I think emotionally, you think about this entire group, this entire early group of freshmen, I think have fit in really well from a maturity standpoint. When you look at what they've done and how many of those guys, and I'm almost to a person, when you talk to people that come to practice, they talk about the young guys and how different they look, and it jumps out. And, you know, we've been, you know, again, talking about it for years, that the best way to develop guys is to have really good guys to develop. And that's where the starting point is now. When you start talking about the recruiting classes and do, when you have better players to develop to begin with, they're going to develop at a much higher rate. You'll still have some guys that don't. That's just the nature of things, but so does Alabama and so does Georgia. But the more of those guys you get, the more of them you're going to develop. And so we've already seen that happen this spring with Cam Coleman and others. I mean, there's lots of those guys. You think about, you know, Amaris Williams and, you know, those guys, you know, Waller, Joe Phillips and DeMarcus Riddick, all these secondary guys. I know, Nathan, we'll get to them, but honestly, that secondary group and something you're writing about physically looks really, really good. Now, they got a long way to go in terms of maturity, but that's a group that jumps out to you.
Yeah, I think the conversations that you have with people in the building this spring are, those guys look a little different. when you're talking about the young guys, and you have your experienced players, but you mentioned those defensive linemen. I think it stands out there with a couple of those guys. It stands out in the secondary. Obviously, Cam Coleman looks just absolutely incredible. And that is the difference, right? Is that it is no longer, oh, we'll see if these guys can contribute. And, you know, they got a long way to go. Obviously, they do. They do have to develop within the scheme and within the system. But in terms of athletic ability and talent, it is very clear that some of these guys are, I mean, like an Amaris Williams on defense looks absolutely fantastic. TJ Lindsey is a house playing defensive end. I mean, that is a massive defensive lineman already. And like you mentioned, those young DBs, look, we can go ahead and get to it in terms of talking about what to expect from this game. If you're an Auburn fan, I think some of your focus will be on that secondary because it'll look very different. It is not what you expect. The names that you've known for a while are now off to the NFL. There is a laundry list of young defensive backs there. But as we get into the end of spring, I think they've sorted themselves out pretty nicely. I think we know kind of where everybody goes. Your top two cornerbacks right now are still Kyan Lee, of course, coming back from last year. Keyonce Scott, who is the returning face there, the veteran, makes that move from nickel to corner. Colton Hood has got it now. I think that is a guy that if you were to start the season right now would play a lot at cornerback. He's kind of been your number three guy. And then a face that has really, really been impressive. I was talking to Christian yesterday who said, you know, he was good at the Under Armour game, but Christian did not foresee him playing this much on the second team right now, is Jay Crawford. Had a pick six. Jalen Crawford had a pick six in the scrimmage, has gotten a ton of second team work. Champ Anthony is a name that Auburn fans will remember a little bit from last year, played a little bit. He might be your main guy at nickel.
Yeah.
Now, and then that safety rotation is really interesting. Sylvester Smith is a guy a couple of the previous coaches, including Ron Roberts, were really, really high on. He's in there. He's in there right now at safety. Yesterday, the three most common safeties in terms of first team work were him, Caleb Wooden, and Jaron Thompson. And then Kensley Faustin is a guy. He's a true freshman that a lot of people have told us, you know, he's playing a lot. He's playing a lot as the backup nickel. And then I haven't even mentioned JC Hart, who might be your number four cornerback right now, number four or five cornerback. And so they just have so many options, but I think it's gone from just throw them at the wall, see what happens. They're really not playing a bunch of significant reps because they've got guys ahead of them too. The reps Colton Hood is playing are significant. Like Jay Crawford is getting in there and going against good players. And for the most part, Jason, we saw it at practice on Tuesday. They've been really good. Like they have made a lot of plays. And Hugh Freeze said that might be the group that surprised him more than any this spring.
You look at it and, you know, you got, you know, T-Love, Laquan Robinson at safety. I mean, there are guys everywhere. That's the thing that you look at when you say, okay, roll out the safeties. And you can go 10 to 12 deep in this group and you go, that guy looks like he belongs. There's been some really good Auburn teams that didn't have that. There are a lot of really good Auburn teams. When you got to six or seven, you go, that guy looks like a walk-on. This group doesn't have it. Now, they got a lot of ways to go in terms of experience and kind of learning the nuances of the game. But if you look just physically, this is a group that's much better physically than that group was last year. Now, that group played well and got some guys that are going to play in the NFL. But physically, this is a more talented Auburn secondary than they were a year ago. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything in terms of playing. I think they'll continue to get better as they move along. But you mentioned some of those guys, the size, the length, athleticism, speed. I mean, they've got all the tools that you're looking for. And you're right. There's some guys that have gotten a lot of reps, even though they haven't played a ton of football. You mentioned T. Scott and Colton Hood and all these guys. Those guys were involved, and then during all those bowl practices, they got a lot of work, so they got a really good head start on the spring. So it's an intriguing group. You mentioned Sylvester Smith and Kensley Faustin, two guys that maybe aren't your big physical, overwhelming safety-type guys. Charles Kelly wants guys that are really smart, that can understand plays before they happen, do those things, and I think that's what guys like that have had to do because they're not the biggest and most physical. I think you're right. I think those are guys to watch. No question that Sylvester Smith is going to be a guy that plays in this. And you know, we hadn't mentioned a guy like Antonio Kite and kind of where he fits. extremely athletic guy that'll be somewhere in the mix too. And, you know, does J.C. Hart stay at corner? Does he move inside a nickel? Does he wind up as a true free safety? There are a lot of options with this group and with these second-year guys especially.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Yeah, and I mean, Fried said it on Tuesday. He said, I hope this isn't fool's gold, the way that some of them have performed. Obviously, you have, for guys that are on the second team, and when the other quarterbacks get first team work, we saw it yesterday. Those quarterbacks aren't as precise. They aren't making as good of throws and as good of plays as Peyton Thorne, but you're still having those young defensive backs take advantage of that. I kind of saw why we were told that Colton Hood had more interceptions in practice last year than any other player on the team. Because of the way he tracked the ball yesterday. Jaron Thompson had a great pick in the end zone. J.C. Hart had an interception, kind of falling away. Colton Hood had I wish people could have seen this play. Maybe they'll post it. Sort of a sideline ball from Thorne to Robert Lewis. And Colton Hood breaks it up at the top of the play. Both guys are falling down, and as they fall down, Robert Lewis is able to bounce the ball in the air and get it as he's juggling. So it's a great play on both ends. But again, I think that you've seen some high level competition between these guys in practice, to where you could see some really good plays in this. You could see some good one-on-one competitiveness in the passing game. Granted, the quarterbacks put it in the right position. I don't think this is just going to be a, you know, run of the mill, you know, everybody do their thing. These have been groups that have been excited to go against each other. I wrote about it yesterday a little bit, but Kyan Lee versus Cam Coleman is like must see TV in practice. I mean, every time those guys go against each other, that's probably two of your maybe three or four most talented players on this entire team. So that's always a really, really good matchup. The defensive line is somewhere too, Jason. I think a lot of people will be paying attention in the spring game. Keldrick Falk is the name that just continually pops over and over again, but that's another group where we're starting to see guys settle in, you know, where they want to go. I think Gage Keys has a pretty good grasp. Trill Carter, the Texas transfer, lots of first team reps at nose tackle. So we might see him pretty consistently in there. But then a couple of the young guys have played a lot. You mentioned Amaris Williams. Jamonte Waller gets a lot of second team work. And somebody I saw yesterday, I don't know if you noticed this, when Gage Keys kind of had a little leg issue, got it checked out for about 20 minutes, then came back in. Malik Blockton, first team reps and blowing guys up in the backfield.
Yeah.
Those are some guys that, you know, if you see those young guys in the spring game make some plays, don't be surprised. They may not play a ton this season, but when they're in the game, they're going to be hungry to make an impact. And I think they've got some good young pieces there.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is this, you know, obviously we've talked about it since coming out of, you know, the signing day, talked about it early in spring. Hugh Freeze mentioned again, they're going to go after probably a couple of interior defensive linemen from the portal to try to solidify that group even more. But I still think you could see a different style of defense with DJ Durkin with the guys they have on this roster, meaning it might be not three 300 pounders on a defensive line. Maybe it's one 300 pounder on a defensive line and you're 280, 285 attacking quickness. Maybe it's a little bit different style because right now, to me, those are your best players. Now, like I said, they got to continue to come on, do this, some of those things. But you look at, you know, obviously Keldrick Fall is a guy that's going to be one of those guys. He's not 300 pounds. He's big, but he still looks like a power forward. But you look at the rest of the group and you start talking about the TJ Lindsays and Malik Blockton, and then you start thinking about, you know, the Amaris Williams and some of the mixes that you have at that edge position and what you can do with some of those guys. And said before the spring, two guys that I thought needed to come on were Bobby Jameson Travis and DJ Reed. I think they have, but I don't think they've come on as much as maybe the coaches hoped they would. You know, like, hey, let's go break out. I don't think we've had a breakout performer on that defensive line to this point, especially the interior part. That's what they're looking for. Maybe somebody starts to do some of that Saturday and builds momentum, but I still think they're going to go try to solidify that group even more.
What do you think are some other groups? I was thinking about this yesterday, and we'll get it, it'll start in about a week. But what are some other groups you think they might go for in this second portal window?
I don't know. I don't know that there's a huge area. I think one of the things they've been that you always look at is I mean, we're just kind of conditioned to look at offensive line. You're just conditioned to look at the offensive line group. I think the emergence of guys like Raiden Joyner, EJ Harris at guard have been really beneficial for this team. Obviously, Dylan Senda is a guy that is working at center, but you have a sophomore center. Dylan Senda is a guy that probably will wind up kind of getting in the mix at guard too. Still got Jaden Muskrat back. You think about not this year, but the next year. Obviously, Avery Jones will be a guy that'll be gone. Jeremiah Wright, maybe after this year, would still have another year. Everybody else you would expect to probably be back. You go, okay, where do you start looking? They've got some depth built up on the offensive line. Seth Wilford coming in has been, I think, good. Tyler Johnson has been good. You start going, hey, there's actually other tackles on this team that can play. So that was the one spot you look at going, if you find a guy, maybe, but I don't know now that's a spot for this team. Tight end, I don't know. I don't know. You got enough veteran guys. You got enough guys there. Maybe wide receiver. If you can find a guy that is just like, boom, this guy's played at a high level. I think that's the one key. I don't think you go lower level, late addition like they did last year because of what happened. I think if you found a high major had played football at this level and says, okay, give us another older, experienced guy, because, I mean, this spring we haven't heard a lot. Now, they've been banged up. We haven't heard a lot from Akoi Moore. We haven't heard a lot from really Jay Fair. We haven't heard a lot from your older guys. Camden Brown's the one guy that we've heard from that older group that has stepped it up. I do think the one area, and it kind of flows with the defensive line, is I wouldn't be surprised to see him go get one older pass rusher to be there with Jalen McLeod, because he's the only guy with experience you have at that position. They feel really good about the young guys, but can you find another guy to go, hey, one-year guy, guys, he's not going to interrupt your development. We're still going to play you, but you got to have another guy with experience at that edge position to just in case, to give you a little extra added depth and experience. To me, that's the only other spot. I think they felt good enough about the secondary group that they're ready to roll. Linebacker, you've added some experience and you got a good mix of young guys. I would say it's almost all on this interior and defensive line screen group, in my opinion.
I'll put you on the spot here a little bit. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but give me a couple guys on both sides of the ball you think have a good chance to maybe win MVP at A Day, which is always a complete dice roll because you just never know.
I do Jamonta Waller on defense. I think pass rushers are always guys that can garner more attention in a game like this on defense. So I'll go with a guy like Jamonta Waller. I think he's a guy that has a chance to go out and make some plays and, you know, maybe have a couple of sacks, do something like that on defense. So I'll go with him on defense. Offensively, you normally side with a running back in a spring game. But I have a feeling that they want to see the young guys throw the football a little bit. So I don't know. I'm going back and forth. I may go with Hank Brown, just, you know, guy that kind of finds the open guys and does some things like that. Maybe as an offensive guy, Hank Brown, and then maybe one of the receivers that's not been talked about as much. You know, like I said, I don't think Cam Coleman will get a ton of catches, but maybe Bryce Kane has a couple of big plays in the passing game, a couple of deep balls, something like that, because he's got tremendous speed and he had a couple of really good plays on Tuesday. So that'd be a couple of my guys.
I don't know why it stuck out to me since the beginning of spring, but I just have this feeling Sam Jackson is going to do some stuff, just because he is kind of that gadget player and he's been getting first team work.
I wonder if he'll clear him fully. That was my question.
That's the question. Yeah.
Would they let him go play, or are they going to hold him out and then let him get through the spring? That's what I don't really, because yeah, I think he's a guy that has a tremendous amount of ability.
If Camden Brown was healthy, and we'll see how much he's able to go, that feels like a guy who would have a good opportunity. Maybe one of those backup linebackers too. I wonder if can't come up and thump a little bit. But you're right. The running back is always so popular, and something else to talk about from Tuesday. Look, Hugh Freeze said that defensive line was giving them actually some problems in terms of pass protection, in terms of how good they're pass rushing. He didn't really say anything about the run defense, and that's because they're run blocking really well. All that they've run the ball well all spring. There was plenty of pop in the run game on Tuesday. It's maybe somebody like a Brian Battee, I think, may have an opportunity.
Jeremiah Cobb.
They're not going to run Jarquez Hunter much. They're not. No. And even somebody like Damari Alston's not going to get a ton of work. Maybe a guy like I was thinking this yesterday when he made some nice plays in practice, not in like offense versus defense setting, just an individual. Rico Walker has a lot of skills. And if you get into the late second half and you're running that offense that you usually run with Rivaldo Fairweather, and instead you've got 17 out there, he's like a miniature version, I think, maybe a couple years down the line. And so maybe those same kind of passes that you'd throw to a guy like Fairweather, you might throw to a Rico Walker. But I'm excited again because I think this has the opportunity to be the most kind of normal spring game that they've had in a while in terms of four quarters. You get your, you know, there's not a ton of injuries. Receiver, yes. But other than that, like you were going to exit spring, I think, with a decent snapshot of where this team is on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to give one more name too. Walk-on running back, Justin Jones, has been really good. He looks really good. He's long, big body guy. You're right. You start getting to where we're going to run the football here. He's a guy that could do some things. But, yeah, interesting. It'll be an interesting day. It really will to think about, because of, you know, we've run down 50 or 60 players. Last year at this time, they didn't have enough of those guys. They're like, oh, we don't have enough guys to really – so it limited the game anyway. They're able to go out and actually get after it, I think, Saturday, and not have to play the guys and still be able to get something done. So I think that in turn makes Saturday a, you know, pretty interesting day. For coaches, it's just another day, but, you know, it'll give everybody a chance to kind of see everything and see what it looks like with new systems and kind of some new pieces in place.
It is a glorified scrimmage at the end of the day, but does give fans a good opportunity to get a look at this team. And so we will see everybody there 1 p.m. Central Time in Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday. We'll have another podcast for you guys later this week. Christian and Jason will have a bit of a recruiting roundup, a look to Saturday, as there's been a couple big weekends here of recruiting visits. Until then, we'll talk to you guys soon. The bumper music is by Beats by Mordecai. You guys can follow him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Until the next episode, talk to y'all later. Everybody have a great rest of your week.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town. and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount+.